border. It's a mess. Winter was amazed they could find anything the way the hundreds of small baggies were haphazardly placed inside.
That's why they need to be straightened out.
By the way, they need to stay cool, so don't leave the door open long. The fridges are set at a certain temperature. Take a few out at a time to get them organized. With a goading smile, he left her alone in the room. Winter opened the door and studied the mess inside. Closing it, she went to the other two refrigerators to find more of the same. She couldn't understand how anyone could find anything inside. They were long since out of numerical order. Rolling her sleeves up, she began work on the first refrigerator. 20 minutes later, she was leaving the factory with a determined expression. Ryder was outside, working on his bike, when she asked him to get her keys and purse from the house. Returning with her things, he handed them to her.
"Escaping your punishment?" he joked.
Winter merely gave him an annoyed stare that cut off his laughter. Getting into her car, she was proud of herself for not hitting him with her purse. The dollar bin was her first stop. Taking a cart as she entered the store, it didn't take long to find the items she needed. The store was relatively slow for the morning, and she was going through the door after paying for her purchases when she passed Carmen with her parents.
"Good morning, Ms. Simmons."
Carmen's parents greeted her. Carmen refused to say anything, not meeting her eyes and giving her the cold shoulder treatment.
"Good morning. I didn't know you were back in town," Winter remarked to Carmen's parents.
"Not for long. We came to town to sell the lot our house was on," Mrs. Jones replied sadly. "I'm sorry we didn't come by the hospital to see you. We are so sorry that our daughter's misjudgment caused Jake to take his anger out on you."
"Don't,"
Winter started to say, when Carmen interrupted her.
"Jake didn't do anything to her. I keep telling you, but no one will listen."
Carmen angrily glared at Winter.
"I don't know who attacked you, but it wasn't Jake."
Confused, Winter questioned Carmen. "But he's already been sentenced. I read it in the newspaper that he confessed." Winter had been dreading being called as a witness, so she had been relieved to know she wouldn't have to testify.
"He was scared after he burned down our house. He was angry and made a mistake, but he didn't touch you. The prosecutor offered him a plea deal, and he knew no one in this town was going to believe him, so he took it. But I believe him," she said angrily. "He wasn't the one who hurt you."
Winter could tell she was still just as infatuated with him as she had been during the summer.
"I don't remember anything from that night, but I will ask the sheriff if there is any possibility there could have been a mistake."
Winter saw the hope in the girl's face and sought to caution her.
"Carmen, he was on school property earlier that week, and I know he was pretty angry with me for telling your parents that he was mistreating you."
"He didn't do it,"
Carmen repeated stubbornly. As Winter and Carmen's parents said goodbye, Winter hoped they would be able to find a new start away from Tree Point. The members all stared at her as she walked back into the factory, carrying her bags. Returning to the back room, Winter organized the refrigerators for the rest of the day. She didn't even stop for lunch, wanting to get the job done. She was so occupied in sorting the seeds that she didn't notice the door opening. Warm arms circled her waist, tugging her back into a warm body.
"Having fun?"
Winter shook her head.
"Your system sucked, but it's finished."
Viper released her to open the refrigerator to find several baskets with seeds, instead of hundreds of baggies.
She had organized them into larger bags and by numerical order. Viper whistled in admiration as he closed the door and opened the other one, which was also organized. Looking at her with a raised brow, he opened the last one to find it too organized. Winter gave him a gloating smile.
I'm impressed.
Viper meant the compliment.
You should be.
She continued to gloat. Viper smiled at her exuberance.
You do know it won't last.
Winter lost her smile.
Why not?
Viper shrugged.
You'll see.
It's a good system.
I agree, but it still won't last. That's why it's one of the punishments. It's a constant job that needs to be kept in check.
Winter could understand that.
At least it won't be my job.
She wound her arms around his neck. I don't plan on needing any more punishment. I learned my lesson.
I hope not.
His hand rubbed her ass.
I have several more interesting punishments in mind for you than organizing a refrigerator.
Pulling out of his arms, she went to the door and held it open.
Not today, you don't. I'm starving.
They went to the house and ate dinner, relaxing on the couch in his bedroom, watching television and talking. Viper laughed at her complaints about the different varieties of green beans and ignored her suggestions of taking it down to one variety. That way, if she earned that particular punishment again, the less to organize, the better. Tired, Winter stretched out beside him. Noticing her movements, Viper took her hand and pulled her to her feet.
Bedtime for you.
Winter leaned against him, unable to prevent herself from wincing. Viper leaned down and lifted her into his arms, then carried her to the bathroom, where he turned the shower on until the room filled with steam. Helping her remove her clothes, they silently took a shower. After drying off, Viper helped her to bed and reached for the ibuprofen on the nightstand. Handing her the bottle, he went to the small refrigerator to retrieve a bottle of water. Taking the pills, she laid back down and then was pulled to his chest.
Take it easy tomorrow. You did too much today, Viper advised.
Winter nodded her head in his shoulder.
I'll be fine.
Yes, you will, pretty girl,
Viper promised. The next day, Winter took Viper's advice. Taking it easy, she caught up on his reports and then decided to read a book until she became hungry. When she went downstairs, she found Ryder and Train cooking lunch. It didn't involve much cooking other than placing the frozen pizza in the oven. Deciding to forego the pizza, she made herself a sandwich. Taking a bottle of water, she started to leave the room. If you lay the pizza directly on the wire rack, it will cook the crust better with it being frozen. The men thanked her for her suggestion. Winter hummed as she went back upstairs to finish her book. Viper brought dinner up to her later that night. Afterwards, they had a quiet night together before going to bed. Viper was still sleeping when Winter got out of bed early the next morning. Dressing in her workout clothes, she went down to the weight room to do her exercises. She missed having Donna there when she worked out, but they had agreed she no longer needed her every day. Instead, she now only came by once a week. When she finished, she went upstairs and took a seat at the kitchen table. As she slowly began drinking a cup of coffee, she heard a few sounds upstairs, aware that the others would be getting up to get ready for work. As she continued to sit, relaxing, the kitchen door opened and Shade walked in, looking tired and irritable. She watched as he poured himself a cup of coffee. He still didn't speak to her, but she wasn't upset by it. Winter had learned he wasn't much of a talker. After he took a few sips of his coffee, he moved towards the stove.
Opening the oven door, he stared at it several minutes before closing it. Shade went to the kitchen closet. She noticed he was gathering cleaning supplies and then filling a bucket with soapy water. He then went to the refrigerator, opened the door, and within seconds he was slamming it shut. Turning green, he hastily moved away to lean on the counter. Winter took another sip of her coffee.
The punishments are a bitch, aren't they? I thought mine was bad, but at least I don't have to clean that oven or the fridge, she remarked conversationally.
Shade looked back and forth between the offending appliances. Winter knew he was trying to figure out which one to start with.
I would start with the oven. Give your stomach time to settle. It's a little early to clean something that smells so bad.
Winter stood up to freshen her coffee and watched as he stood, debating in front of the oven.
Of course, I could help you with your problem.
He turned to face her, his eyes narrowing in on her innocent expression.
I could clean the oven, fridge, and pantry for you.
His eyes went to the pantry door, but he made no move to see what condition it was in. Everyone knew it was a close second to the seeds and punishments.
What do you want?
He asked grimly.
It's going to take me at least a couple of hours to scrub that oven down. In case you didn't know, that's cheese on the bottom. The fridge is even worse. It smells like Armageddon, and the pantry has an ant infestation, she said, taking another sip of coffee.
What's your price?
He repeated through clenched teeth. Winter faced him squarely, looking him straight in the eyes as she told him exactly what she wanted.
I want your vote. Look at it this way. It's going to take several hours of work to clean this mess up. If we had sex, it would take 10 minutes. You're getting a better deal. Besides, we both know that you're not going to vote me in with sex anyway.
Shade stared at her before shrugging.
It's all yours.
Winter frowned that he had given in too easily, but she wasn't going to question her luck. She started to go into the pantry to begin as Shade reached into the cabinet.
I'll have to tell Viper that he must be getting old if you think sex lasts 10 minutes.
Her poor choice of words was going to piss off Viper, and the bastard knew it from his smug grin. He poured himself a cup of coffee as he started to sit at the table. Winter went to the refrigerator and opened the door. He was out the door before she had finished the movement. Reaching inside, she took out the leftover sauerkraut, placing it in the trash bag before carrying it outside the back door to the trash can. When she came in, she lit a candle and opened a box of baking soda. She was busy cleaning the fridge when the members started coming in for breakfast. She was almost finished when Viper trailed in. He watched closely as she closed the door to the refrigerator.
Why are you doing Shade's punishment?
I decided to give him a helping hand.
Viper fixed himself a bowl of cereal. Winter noticed him glancing at her in speculation a couple of times, but she ignored it and kept cleaning. That night, in bed, she was almost asleep when Viper brought up Shade.
He told me he gave you his vote.
Yes.
She curled closer to his side.
I didn't know we had an ant infestation.
We don't,
Winter confessed.
You're a dangerous woman, Winter Simmons.
Winter knocked on Tun's door, which opened several minutes later to a bleary-eyed Tun with a sour expression on his face.
I brought your groceries.
Winter gave him a bright smile.
Beth never comes until after 10,
Tun grouched.
I'm an early riser.
I bet Viper loves that,
Tun said snidely. Winter blushed at his remark. Viper was not an early riser. He worked hard,
But he did like sleeping in the mornings. Unless he had a meeting, he never got out of bed before 9. "The groceries are in the car," Winter told Tun. Beth had warned her he would take it as an insult if she packed the groceries inside herself. She hastily moved out of the way of the screen door before Tun stomped to her car. Lifting out the box of groceries, she followed him inside uncertainly while Tun put the groceries on his table. She wondered why Viper hadn't just brought them himself. "Do you need anything else while I'm here?" Winter offered.
"No."
"Since I'm up, do you want a cup of coffee?"
"I would love one." While the coffee was brewing, Tun moved around the kitchen, putting up his groceries. When the coffee was finished, Tun poured each of them a cup. They carried their cups to the living room and sat on the couch. Winter loved his cabin. It was rustic and homey.
"Beth told you she was going out of town today?"
"She mentioned it. Told her she didn't need to worry about the groceries,"
Tun answered her question.
"Why didn't Viper just bring them by?"
Tun looked at her with surprise.
"I haven't seen Viper since the day at the diner. He's pissed at me. And when Viper gets mad, it takes him a while to get over it."
"I didn't know," Winter said, regretting her question.
"He's right. I let my anger get the better of me, and I put the women in danger because I couldn't control my temper,"
Tun admitted. Winter felt sorry for the man. It couldn't be easy for a man who had lived an active life in the military to suddenly find himself with nothing except time on his hands. Losing a son and declining in health could only exacerbate the problem. The man needed something to keep him occupied, but Winter didn't know what to suggest. She would have to give it some thought.
"Perhaps I could talk to him," she suggested.
"It won't help. He'll gradually come around,"
Tun shrugged. Winter guessed it wasn't the first time the father and son had butted heads, and it wouldn't be the last. Not only did they share the same genes, but obviously the same temper. Winter rose to go. She had made an appointment and didn't want to be late.
"Beth won't be back until Monday. If you need anything, just call."
Winter saw a paper and pencil by the phone and wrote her number down.
"I have been taking care of myself for a long time," Tun grouched.
"I am sure you have," Winter smiled.
"But I am at a loose end right now, so it would give me something to do." Tun's face turned red.
"Those stuck-up townspeople take your job?"
"They're going to try," Winter responded. Tun nodded.
"Don't let them push you around. Stand up for yourself."
"I plan to," Winter said with determination. Winter left Tun inside. She was about to get in her car when she noticed the garage door was partially ajar. Tun had forgotten to turn out the light after storing some of the supplies that Beth had sent. She walked over to turn off the lights for him. Opening the door wider to find the light switch, she curiously glanced around the garage. A large blue tarp that was covering a huge mound had slipped to the side, revealing a motorcycle wheel. It had obviously laid there for a while, since dust and spiderwebs covered it. Winter quietly walked over to the tarp and lifted a corner to reveal what was left of a motorcycle, or at least that was what she thought it was. It looked like it had been in a crash. The frame was bent and it was torn to pieces. Winter swallowed, imagining anyone on this bike when the damage occurred surely hadn't been able to walk away alive. It was that bad.
"I thought you were leaving."
"I saw that you had left on the light," she answered. She didn't take her eyes off the bike.
"What happened?" Tun didn't answer, so Winter turned to face him.
"Whose bike is it, Tun?"
"Viper's,"
He crashed his bike? When?
Winter swallowed tightly.
He didn't crash it. He did that himself.
But why?
Winter asked, shocked.
Don't know. You'll have to ask him. He just brought it here and told me to leave it alone. I offered to help him rebuild it, but he said no. He loved that bike. Him and Gavin picked it out together when they got out of the service.
Winter saw another bike covered in the corner.
That one Gavin's?
Winter pointed to the bike.
Yes.
Winter brought her attention back to the mess in front of her.
When?
Winter asked again.
The best I can figure is the day after your attack.
Tun sighed. Winter turned white. Turning on her heel, she didn't say another word. Getting in her car, she pulled out and drove into town. Impulsively, she drove to her home. Going inside, the quiet struck her. At the clubhouse, there was always someone moving around, music playing, talking, or fucking. Winter walked from room to room, going back to the living room. She took out her phone and called to reschedule her appointment, not even paying attention to when it was rescheduled. Winter buried her face in her hands. The image of Viper's bike wouldn't leave. All the implications flowing through her mind. Her phone rang next to her, but she didn't answer. Twice more within the hour, the phone rang. Finally, coming to a decision, she picked up her phone. It had been Beth who had called, and when she couldn't reach Winter, she had become concerned and called Viper. The last two calls had been from him. She couldn't talk to him yet. Winter sent a text, saying what she couldn't bring herself to say face to face. We're over. Chapter 19. Winter hadn't moved since she had sent the text. The chair faced the window so she could see the sun going down. The party would be getting started, and Viper would be there alone, angry at her text. She knew without a doubt in her mind how he would react. The only question in her mind was which woman he would pick first. She wasn't aware of when she started to cry. Hadn't even noticed the wetness on her cheeks. Winter was too focused on the pain coming from her chest, afraid she wouldn't be able to catch her next breath. The hiccuping cry that left her throat was her first realization that she had been sitting there for a length of time quietly sobbing. Her hand smoothed away the tears from her cheeks. She was about to get up to go to her bedroom, when inside the quietness of the house, she heard the loud motors coming down the street. It sounded loud in the quietness of the neighborhood, filled mainly with elderly homeowners. Winter sat still, unsure what to do. She hadn't turned on the lights when it had become dark, preferring to sit in the darkness. Now the whole room was being flooded with lights from the outside. A knock on the door had her rising, reluctantly accepting the inevitable. She was going to have to face Viper. Opening the door, she took a step back as he walked angrily into the room.
Why are all the lights off?
He came to a sudden stop. Without waiting for her reply, he found the switch and flipped the lights on. The light showed the devastation on her face the crying had caused. Viper stared at her quietly, taking in her puffy, pain-bruised eyes.
What's going on, Winter? Why did you send me that text?
Viper asked gently. Winter turned her back, moving towards the living room, further away from his intimidating presence. Viper followed her, concerned.
I think it should be self-explanatory. We're over. I am moving back into my home, something I should have done long ago.
You could have moved back any time. Winter, why now? You were fine when you left the clubhouse this morning. What changed between then and now?
I went to Tons this morning.
I know. You told me this morning that you were going. Did he say something to you? He asked angrily.
No, but you shouldn't stay mad at him, Viper.
My father is my business,
Viper said in a hard voice. There it is, Winter said softly.
What in the fuck are you talking about?
I saw your bike there, Viper. You trashed it the day you found out about my attack, didn't you? Viper stiffened, sensing a trap. If you didn't feel guilty, then why did you trash your bike? All this time during the last few months, you have just been soothing your conscience, Viper. You told yourself and me that you didn't feel guilty. But I think inside you did. And that's why you were determined to take care of me when I came out of the hospital.
You came up with this just from seeing my fucking bike?
Not only that, Viper. Let's be honest. Why would you quit having sex with the other women? It had to be your guilty conscience. She turned, giving him her back while she tried to get control of herself. Her hands clenched, her nails biting into the flesh of her palms, as she turned back to face him. Why would you pick me over them? Look at me. I'm not even pretty. Drawing back her bangs, she pointed to the ragged scar on her forehead. I don't have a gorgeous body. Mine has scars from the surgery on my back. Winter's legs were trembling as she sank down onto the sofa, burying her face in her hands. You'll get tired of me one day when a new prospect or hanger-on walks in the clubhouse door, and you'll leave me again. That's what you always did, Loker. You left me for other women before, and you'll do it again.
Winter, look at me,
Viper said gently. Winter reluctantly looked up. He was staring back at her with tears in his eyes.
Pretty girl, this time it's not me leaving. It's you.
I'm still in love with you, Loker, she heart-wrenchingly confessed as tears slid from the corner of her eyes.
I know, Winter. I've known all along you never stopped loving me. I knew when you stayed at the clubhouse, when you started helping me with my work, and when you decided to become a member of the Last Riders.
The only one Winter had managed to fool was herself, she thought, in self-contempt.
It was the only thing I had to hold on to make the nightmare of almost losing you bearable. I believed that once you found out who I was, you wouldn't be able to accept that, and I wanted you to have the choice. The accident did change my feelings. I agree with you there, but not the way you think, Winter.
Viper saw the resignation in her eyes.
My feelings changed because I was no longer going to give you a choice in the matter. I pretended I was, even to myself, right up to the point you sent me that text. You're mine, regardless of whether you want to be or not. If you even think of looking at another man, I will kill the motherfucker. If you try to leave me again, I will lock you in my room. And if you ever, and I mean ever, tell me you're not pretty again, I will beat your ass until you can't sit for a week. Do you understand me?
Winter didn't know a man could yell and cry at the same time. For the first time, Winter ran into his open arms. Viper's arms closed tightly around her, burying his face in her neck.
I was so fucking stupid. I almost lost you. If that punk ever gets out of prison, I'm going to kill him.
You kind of have a violent streak, do you know that? Winter informed him. I saw Carmen the other day, and she doesn't think Jake was the one who hurt me. She said he only confessed because of the plea he was offered.
He took a plea deal because he was guilty as hell. Cash is the one who tracked him into the mountains,
he said unsympathetically. She seemed pretty convinced, Viper.
I'll talk to Cash.
She nodded her head against his chest.
Can we go home now? Your neighbors will probably start calling the sheriff's office, and there is no reason to ruin his Friday night.
Winter lifted her head. Is that all you guys look forward to is Friday? She teased.
With you in my bed, it's Friday all week.
Blushing at his compliment, she stepped away from him to get her purse and phone. They went to the door, and Viper flipped off the lights, making sure the door was locked before they went to his bike. Winter kept her head lowered, embarrassed that the whole club was on her doorstep. Winter climbed on the huge bike behind Viper, and two by two, they pulled out with Viper in the lead and Razor bringing up the rear. She tightened her arms around his waist and leaned her head on his back as they flew through the night. Winter folded the clothes and put the laundry basket on the table in the laundry room for the members to come and get their clothes. She was humming as she put the clothes in the dryer.
There is someone here to see you.
Winter turned in surprise to see Viper standing in the doorway. Winter was surprised. No one had visited her since her return. Who is it?
Don't know. She said you had an appointment with her this morning and you missed it.
He looked at her quizzically. Damn. It must be my lawyer from the teachers' union. I had an appointment with her last week and canceled it. I forgot we had rescheduled it for today. Angry with herself for forgetting such an important appointment, she hurried upstairs, leaving Viper to his workout. The lawyer was waiting for her in the front room. The woman was immaculate in a dress suit, just the way she used to dress for school. Winter didn't miss that aspect of her job. The woman extended her hand. Ms. Simmons. She was tall and curvy, making Winter feel small beside her. Yes, Ms. Richards? I want to apologize for missing our meeting this morning. The woman smiled. I should have called yesterday and confirmed the appointment. Let's both admit we're to blame and move on from there. Is there some place we can sit and talk? Winter bit her lip. She didn't want to take her upstairs to her and Viper's room, which left only one place. Would the couch by the window be okay? Winter pointed to a couch with a side table. It was at the end of the room, so that if any of the members came in, they wouldn't be able to hear their discussion. That would be fine. Winter was nervous. None of the members were working since Friday was their off day. With any luck, their meeting would be quick. Both women sat on the couch, and Winter watched as Ms. Richards placed her briefcase between them. I requested your work record from the superintendent's office, and I was happy to see that during your employment, you are an exemplary employee. That is going to help our case. I understand that they wanted you to resign and you refused. Winter explained about her attack and the following months of her recuperation. She didn't hold back any information, well aware of how dirty some of these cases could become. Are you fully recovered? Ms. Richards kept her face impassive throughout her explanation. Not fully. I still have several issues with my leg and back, but nothing that would prevent me from doing my job. So, there aren't any physical issues that would hinder you from moving back into your home? She asked. No. Winter refused to look away. This is my home now. It will not affect how I do my job. I haven't committed a crime. The school board might not approve of my living arrangements, but I do know that I haven't been convicted of any crime. The lawyer nodded her head as she studied the paperwork. I think we may be able to get your job back. Worst case scenario is they let you go with a damaging reference. I'm going to try to set a date for a meeting with the school board as soon as possible. But they are going to try and delay it.
I really don't see you returning to school this year.
I expected that, Winter acknowledged.
I'll call and make another appointment to go over a few other things after I hear back from the school's attorney.
I promise not to forget it this time, Winter stated.
Ms. Richards was putting the papers back in her briefcase when Knox came down the stairs with Natasha and Jewel at his side. The women laughing at something he said. The women were wearing t-shirts and panties, and Knox had on just a pair of jeans. Winter wanted to sink through the floor. Knox and Natasha sat at the bar as Jewel got them each a beer. Ms. Richards rose to her feet with her briefcase.
It was nice meeting you, Ms. Simmons.
Please call me Winter. The lawyer nodded, but didn't extend the same courtesy. A shrill laugh sounded loud in the room, drawing their attention to see Knox rubbing his cold beer bottle against Natasha's breast. Winter was just thankful he hadn't bared it first.
Let me show you to the door. Winter hurried her to the door, trying to block her view of the three at the bar, but with her so much taller than Winter, it was useless. She didn't need to bother. The woman didn't glance in that direction again, no longer able to hide her contempt of the situation. Winter braced her shoulders, following her to the door. It was no one's business how she lived her private life. She didn't worry about what skeletons were in everyone else's closets. Winter knew it was a lost cause. If she lived in a larger city where she could remain fairly autonomous, the outcome might be different. But Tree Point residents judged with their own set of values. Knox and the women finally noticed the stranger in the room, and he removed his hand from Natasha's ass, letting the t-shirt cover her flesh. He gave the woman a smile, but it was not returned. Ms. Richards turned her head away, flat out snubbing the man. Winter almost laughed at his expression.
I will be talking to you soon.
Winter closed the door behind the lawyer, both hopeful and resigned as to what would happen. Chapter 20. Winter slid her feet into the sandals she had purchased to match her outfit. She was dressed in a simple blue dress that paired with the flashy sandals, which gave her a casual appearance. Brushing her hair, she decided to leave it loose since it had grown over the last 2 months and she was now able to pull it back. The noises coming from downstairs were getting more vocal. Beth's bachelorette party had been looked forward to for the last week, building the women's enthusiasm to a fever pitch. Several of the women had gone to town for a new outfit, herself included. The apparel varied from simple to the biker bitch. She had chosen simple, knowing Lily would be there, and she would be nervous about sticking out among the women.
Let's go! Natasha's yell from downstairs had doors from the upstairs banging open as the women rushed to answer her summons. Winter grabbed her purse, making sure her license was inside. She planned to be the designated driver, although she didn't have high hopes of keeping the rowdy women's drinking under control. The women were all waiting at the bottom of the stairs, while the men slung back beers at the bar, unhappily watching the women all decked out to party without them. Razor, on the other hand, had his arm around Beth's shoulders, who was wearing a pink bride-to-be t-shirt and a modest blue jean skirt. She was a knockout in her outfit, and the happiness shining from her eyes caught Winter in the throat.
"What are you thinking about?" Viper asked, coming to her side.
"They are perfect together." Winter nodded toward the engaged couple. Viper smiled at her, pulling her to his side.
"You look pretty tonight."
"You're not disappointed?"
Viper frowned at her answer.
"Why would I be disappointed in the way you're dressed?"
"I'm not dressed like the others." She stared enviously at Evie's high-heeled biker bitch boots.
She couldn't even wear high heels because of her back.
Winter, you look beautiful. I don't care what you're wearing, but if you want to borrow those boots for later, I'm all for it. There won't be much walking involved, though.
She laughed at his reply. She had learned over the last 2 months that he had a fetish for high heels. She couldn't walk in them for more than a few minutes. The few minutes she tried, before Viper would drag her into his arms and show her his appreciation.
Let's go, or Bliss is going to miss the party.
Evie nudged everyone out the door. As Winter took a step forward, Viper swept her up into his arms.
There is no way you're going down those steps in the dark.
Winter circled his neck with her arms and let him carry her to the vehicle. They had decided to take Beth's SUV because it would hold almost everyone. Evie would drive her car with the rest, but if she planned to drink, Mick would drive them home, and the men would pick up the car tomorrow. The women broke into a chorus of raunchy songs on the way to Rosie's. Winter couldn't help laughing at their antics, enjoying camaraderie among the friends. Lily was already at the bar, waiting for them to arrive. Beth had dropped her off there before going to the clubhouse to get dressed. Winter had been surprised, but Beth had explained that Lily had wanted to decorate the tables. Mick had promised to keep the doors locked until they returned, so she had felt safe leaving her with the burly bartender. Lily had gone to church with Mick for years and was not frightened or intimidated by his huge frame. The women arrived at the bar, and at their knock, Mick unlocked the doors and the group of women entered, ready to party. Lily had done a good job decorating. There were balloons everywhere and bride-to-be banners. Winter couldn't help smiling as Lily anxiously waited for her sister's reaction. Beth caught her close for a hug, pulling her into the large group at the table. Lily had pushed several tables together so they could all sit together. Mick brought a huge tray of drinks, and Winter watched as everyone grabbed a glass.
"What did you fix for us this time?" Evie asked.
Mick liked to pride himself on the drinks he made. He could serve beer and whiskey all day, but he liked to surprise the women with the girly girl drinks they liked occasionally.
"Pixie Sticks Martinis!"
"Whoop, whoop!" the women yelled. "Damn, Mick! You outdid yourself this time,"
Evie complimented him after taking a drink. Winter could have sworn the hard-ass bartender blushed bright red. He set a drink in front of Lily and Winter with a wink.
"Fixed you two girls some designated teenies."
The whole table laughed, including Lily. Mick turned on the sound system, and several of the women began to dance together on the dance floor. There was a metal pole in the middle, and several took turns dancing around it erotically. Winter's eyes narrowed, remembering the pole in the basement of the clubhouse, which had seemed out of place. The women were just too good for not having much practice. Bliss smilingly took her turn, wrapping a leg around the pole, giving a performance that had the women members yelling their encouragement, while Winter, Beth, and Lily sat with their mouths open.
Viper was fucking never going into the basement again, Winter thought, watching Bliss finish sliding down the pole with one leg from the top to the bottom.
Everyone clapped, with Ember moving forward to take her turn. Winter moved her chair so that she didn't have a view of them exhibiting a skill she had been unaware they possessed.
"How's school going?"
Winter asked Lily, whose eyes were glued to the pole dancing.
"Good," Lily answered. "How was spring break?"
That pulled her attention away from the pole dancing. They talked about going to the racetrack, moaning about how much money they lost, before going on to tell her about Beth's wedding dress. Beth had her second fitting, enabling her to pick it up while in Lexington.
"Did you try on your bridesmaid dress?"
Beth questioned Winter.
"Yes.
The women had purchased their dresses from a local shop in town. They're gorgeous. You made a great choice. Beth smiled happily.
I can't wait to see everyone in their dress.
You're not getting nervous? Winter questioned the calm bride-to-be. Beth certainly couldn't be called a bridezilla.
Not at all, Beth answered. I want everything to go according to plan, but if it doesn't, we'll adjust. I'm counting on you to keep everyone on schedule.
That I can do, Winter promised. Evie and Natasha came up behind Beth, tugging her away from the table to the dance floor. It didn't take long for her to relax, dancing from woman to woman. It was easy to see Beth had developed a close relationship with them. Lily watched the interaction of her sister with her friends with a face filled with happiness. It was obvious Lily wasn't jealous of the other women. She was happy her sister was fitting into her new life.
Want to join them? Winter asked.
Yes.
This was the Lily that Winter loved, the mischievous, spunky woman that, when she let her guard down, was stunning to witness. Winter couldn't believe that while they were dancing, Story and Dawn started taunting Lily to pole dance. At first, Lily ignored them, making comical remarks about their own dancing.
Bet you can't get that skinny leg to hold you up on the pole,
Jewel taunted her, staggering forward after she had twirled around the pole several times in succession. A look came into Lily's eyes that Winter had seen a couple of times during her high school days. Lily didn't like anyone to bet her she wouldn't do something. She danced toward the pole, grasping it with one hand, winding one long, shapely leg around the shiny metal before gracefully lifting herself up, performing a series of maneuvers that showed the women how to really pole dance. Every single one of them stopped dancing to watch. Beth cheered her on as she finished in a maneuver that had her sliding down the pole in a circling ball, stopping herself from hitting the floor hard with just an inch to spare. Silence filled the room as she rose to her feet, her face red from her exertions. Then the clapping began. Winter had to ask Beth,
"Did you know she could do that?"
Beth shook her head, going to her sister.
"Where did you learn that?" Beth asked.
"The gym that I go to has classes. That was the only exercise class that fit into my schedule,"
Lily told Beth, who was begging her to teach her some of her moves. Winter went to the bar for bottled water. She had gone for her second bottled water later when she noticed the time. Finding Bliss, they went to Beth, who was sitting at the table with Lily and Evie.
"I'm going to take Bliss back to the clubhouse. Can I borrow your keys?" Winter asked, holding out her hand.
Beth dug inside her purse to find the keys before handing them to Winter.
"I'm ready to go, too. Do you mind giving me a ride?"
Lily stood up from the table, giving her sister a smile. Winter was well aware of why Lily was ready to leave. Several of the women were becoming intoxicated. Beth didn't try to talk Lily out of going, having given her the option earlier in the evening.
"I wish you didn't have to leave, Bliss. I'm sure Crazy Bitch and Sex Piston will behave."
Beth tried to excuse her friend's anger at Bliss. Winter herself didn't know why the biker women wanted Bliss so bad. Everyone refused to tell her. When she had brought up the subject to Beth, the hurt look in her eyes had her quickly dropping the subject.
"I don't mind. I get to go back to the clubhouse with no other women around but me."
Giving a hug to Beth, they turned to leave the bar. Everyone missed the worried look Lily gave her sister before she turned to follow them out the door. Winter decided to drop Bliss off first, as her incessant talk about the men was making both Winter and Lily uncomfortable. By the time they were at the clubhouse, she wanted to shove a rag in her mouth to shut her up. After they watched Bliss enter the house, Winter reversed the car, pulling back out onto the road. The silence was deafening.
The club members are pretty tight, aren't they?
Lily questioned.
Yes, Winter said cautiously.
Bliss has had several relationships with the men, hasn't she?
This time, her question was more probing.
I try not to involve myself in that aspect of the club. Winter evaded a direct answer.
I think she had one with Razor. Beth won't tell me, but they broke up for a while, and the way her biker friends react, I think it was Bliss,
Lily said, trying to draw an answer out of her. Winter was surprised Lily was asking her about the breakup between Beth and Razor.
I don't know. Truthfully, Lily, that was before I had moved into the clubhouse.
Lily went silent, staring out the window. They had passed the club and were beginning to go down the mountain road when blue lights flashed in her rearview mirror.
Damn,
Winter said, pulling over to the barely existent shoulder of the road. Coming to a stop, she pushed a button, sliding her window down as the deputy approached.
Driver's license and registration?
The deputy requested. Winter pulled out her driver's license from her wallet, giving Lily a reassuring smile. She held out the license to the deputy standing on the dark road.
I have to look for the registration. This is my friend's vehicle.
Winter moved to reach inside the glove box.
Keep your hands where I can see them.
The deputy moved his flashlight until it shone onto her license in his hand. Winter stared up into the deputy's face, his unpleasant voice ringing a bell in her memory.
I've met you before when I lived in town. You were the deputy who came to my house with the sheriff.
Winter didn't miss the ugly expression that passed over the deputy's face.
I remember you too. You're the slut who likes to get her kicks playing hard to get, he said snidely.
Winter couldn't believe the deputy was talking to her in such a hateful manner. Lily's indrawn breath showed her own surprise.
Get out of the car, both of you.
The deputy took a step back from Winter's door, motioning for them to get out of the SUV with the flashlight in his hand. Winter tried not to become frightened. He was an officer of the law, but the threatening vibes emanating from him were sending chills across her neck in warning. Lily climbed out, walking around the front of the SUV. Coming to stand next to Winter, she took Lily's hand in hers, trying without words to reassure the young girl. The fear was obvious in her eyes as the deputy moved closer to Winter.
You been drinking tonight?
He questioned obnoxiously.
I haven't been drinking,
Winter answered him truthfully. He stared arrogantly down at her before his eyes slid towards Lily. His change in appearance was sickening. He made no attempt to keep his lustful expression from showing.
You had any drinks tonight?
Lily simply shook her head no.
If that's all, we'd like to go, deputy.
Winter desperately tried to end the encounter.
You'll go when I tell you to go.
The deputy turned back to face her. As he did, the hand holding her license brushed up against her, knocking it out of his hand. When it landed at her feet, she automatically bent down into a squat to pick it up. As she did, her eyes glanced at his boots. They were very distinctive, with a buckle and star on the side. Winter had seen him before. Trembling now in terror, she stood up, trying to keep her terror from showing. However, she was unsuccessful. His eyes bore into hers, and she knew he had figured out that Winter was aware of who he was. Before she could react, he backhanded her, throwing her into the side of Beth's vehicle. Lily screamed, moving toward Winter until the deputy grabbed a handful of Lily's hair, stopping her.
Now, there isn't any need for you to be scared. I'll take care of you right after I finish with this cunt.
Winter's hand grabbed the door to right herself, slowly moving away from the deputy.
You remembered me, didn't you?
I was hoping you would.
He shrugged.
A man likes to know he's made an impression,
he said, dragging Lily by her hair as he stepped in front of Winter, preventing her retreat.
Why?
Winter asked. If he was going to kill her, she would at least like to know why he'd tried to kill her at the high school.
You almost got me fired. If my dad hadn't used his connections, I would have been. Of course, the old bastard warned me he would disown me if I got in trouble again,
he said, slamming the butt of his flashlight into Winter's stomach as the air rushed out of her. She fell to her knees, gasping for breath, as he slung Lily hard into the SUV door.
Get in there and turn off the lights and motor, he yelled. Now!
Winter watched as Lily's fingers tried to open the door, but they were shaking so badly that they couldn't grasp the handle. When Winter managed to get to her feet, Deputy Moore, seeing her move, released Lily's hair long enough to grab Winter's arm. Winter tried to break free, struggling against his hold.
Lily, run!
Winter screamed. Lily hesitated. Winter could tell she didn't want to leave her behind.
Go get help! Run!
I'll kill her if you move.
Deputy Moore tried to drag Winter closer to Lily so that he could grab her, but Winter struggled desperately against his hold, trying to give Lily time to get away. Frustrated, the deputy quit trying to reach Lily, pulling out his gun instead. Lily started running on the road. However, the sound of a gunshot had her veering off into the wooded hillside. As Deputy Moore fired another shot at her, he tried to adjust to a better position to shoot at Lily, but Winter kept striking him, using her nails to dig into the flesh of his arm.
You stupid bitch! I'm going to put a bullet through your head if you don't stop!
He screamed at her. Lights suddenly hit them from an oncoming car, highlighting their struggling figures in the darkness of the night. The car slowed before pulling to the side of the road. The doors opened, and women began climbing out of the car.
If you say one word to them, I will kill you and then kill them,
Deputy Moore warned her. Winter stopped struggling. The pain in her back was excruciating, and her legs were trying to give way, making her hang limp in his brutal grip.
What the fuck is going on here?
Winter looked at the women, recognizing them from the night at the Pink Slipper. Winter realized the woman demanding an explanation from the deputy was Crazy Bitch, and that Sex Piston was the one crossing the road coming towards Winter and the deputy.
Get back in your car. This is none of your business. I pulled her over for driving under the influence, and she is resisting arrest.
His harsh voice didn't stop the women moving forward.
Why do you have Beth's ride?
Sex Piston asked Winter. Winter knew she had a choice. She could tell Deputy Moore wasn't going to let any of them go. They would be able to identify him when she turned up missing. He only had one option, but Winter didn't.
Get help! Help from Beth! Tell her to get Razor! Run!
Winter screamed at the biker women as she resumed her struggles to get away from the deranged deputy.
Stop it!
He lifted his gun towards Winter, but before he could fire it, he found himself under attack from Sex Piston and Crazy Bitch. Trying to protect himself from the two women, he was forced to release Winter, who lost her balance and was knocked to the ground from the struggling trio. Winter watched as Crazy Bitch tore the gun from his grasp while Sex Piston was trying to rip out his hair. Out of the corner of her eyes, she saw all except one of the remaining biker women running towards them. The one left behind reached back inside the bright green car and brought out a baseball bat, running towards them. Kilyama came up behind the struggling deputy.
Get out of the fucking way!
The bitches moved aside, leaving him to Kilyama. Winter had no sympathy for the man as she watched her bring the bat across his back, knocking him into the SUV. Giving him another hard whack between his shoulder blades had him falling to the ground beside Winter. One of the women knelt down beside Winter. "Are you okay?"
"Yes. Get my phone out of the car and call Viper."
T.A. got to her feet, going to the SUV and placing the call. Kilyamal was finally satisfied that the deputy wasn't going to move now that she was standing over him with a bat and Crazy Bitch had pointed the gun at his head.
"What in the fuck was going down?"
Sex Piston asked.
"He was trying to kill me. He attacked me once before, but he wasn't identified. He knew I recognized him, and he was going to kill Lily and me."
Winter's almost incoherent explanation had Lily's predicament flooding into her mind.
"Oh, God. Lily," Winter moaned. "She took off running into the woods."
Winter screamed, trying to get T.A. to help her to her feet.
"We need to find her," Winter screamed again. "She may be hurt. He shot at her twice."
"Calm the fuck down," Kilyama said. "We're not going to run around these woods in the dark. Wait for the men."
Deputy Moore started moving.
"What did he do to you?"
she asked with a mean glint in her eye. Winter stared at the woman holding the bat.
"He almost beat me to death. Left me outside all night on the ground. He didn't finish the job, so he was going to kill Lily and me."
Winter was shaking so badly she had to hold on to T.A. to prevent herself from falling.
"You a friend of Beth's?"
Crazy Bitch asked. Winter nodded.
"I'm one of her bridesmaids."
"We are too," she said absently, staring down at the deputy who had managed to get to his knees. Shoving the gun into the waistband of her jeans, she held out her hand.
"I'm going to see that you were all arrested. Assaulting a police officer."
Deputy Moore tried to put the fear of law into the biker woman. Kilyama handed the bat to Crazy Bitch.
"I'm going to show you assault, motherfucker."
Crazy Bitch brought down the bat, this time over his shoulder.
"I am going to beat the shit."
Each word was timed with a hit by the bat. The sounds of the bat striking flesh were then drowned out by motorcycles. The loud sounds could be heard even before they saw the lights turned the corner. Crazy Bitch stopped hitting the unconscious man to watch the last riders park their bikes close to Beth's vehicle. Viper got off his bike, running directly to Winter.
"What happened?"
Trying not to let her hysteria get the better of her, she attempted to remain calm enough to explain what had happened. However, she lost it completely when she told him about Lily. Viper took command.
"Sex Piston, take Winter and Beth's vehicle back to Rosie's. Don't open your mouths about what happened. You never stopped. You came directly to Rosie's after you left your home. Understand me?"
"You going to finish this motherfucker, or do you need me to stay and help?"
Kilyama asked sincerely.
"I think we can handle this piece of shit from here. Go on to the bar, get drunk, and have some fun. Forget this happened."
Viper's eyes bore into the biker bitches' faces. Getting the message, they climbed back in their car. The tires screeched as Crazy Bitch floored the gas pedal.
"Razor, call Beth. Tell her what happened and not to tell anyone. You tell her we'll find Lily. Winter, get in the SUV and go with Sex Piston. You need to keep Beth calm."
Sex Piston was behind the wheel before Viper finished talking. Winter shakily walked to the passenger door, getting inside with Viper's help.
"Find her, Viper,"
Winter begged.
"Bet on it, pretty girl,"
he said grimly.
"You sure he's the one who almost killed you?"
Winter didn't hesitate.
"Yes, I'm sure," she said,
closing the door without a glance at the man surrounded by the last riders. Sex Piston did a U-turn before driving off in the direction of the bar. Chapter 21. Cash, Shade, Rider, find Lily. The men moved, each going to their bikes, pulling out what they needed before disappearing into the dark woods.
Razor, Knox, Train, you're with me.
Viper walked over to the deputy who had wet himself when Killiamaw had started beating him. He squatted down next to him.
Call the sheriff. Tell him those women attacked me.
Deputy Moore cried, lying on the ground, as he stared up into a face staring stonily back at him.
That was my woman you almost beat to death. She laid in a back brace for weeks, having to have pads under her to take a piss. You left her on the fucking ground in fucking agony for hours. She had weeks of rehab just to move from the bed to her wheelchair.
The deputy was now sobbing for mercy, yet Viper showed him none.
You've just lived your last day.
Cash, Shade, and Ryder moved silently across the hillside, looking for a sign of which direction Lily had gone to give them a clue where she had run. Expertly, Cash shone his flashlight back and forth across the ground. They were lucky because it took them less than 15 minutes to find her first track. Moving apart a few feet, they began a search grid, steadily working their way closer to her. Cash was familiar with the mountain, searching for areas it would be easier for her to run. It was Shade who found a ripped portion of her dress with blood on it. As he gripped it tightly in his hand, they moved forward, changing direction just slightly.
We're fucked, Cash said, recognizing a marker.
What?
Shade snarled.
We're on Porter Land.
So?
Cash shook his head, squatting down by a tree.
She rested here. Someone found her, and she left with him in that direction.
He pointed at an area to their left.
How the hell do you know all that?
Shade asked, staring at the ground.
Because whoever took her was riding a mud puppy. The good news is, it left us a trail a blind man can follow.
Now that they had easier signs to follow, it didn't take them long to come to the large house built into a clearing.
Son of a bitch.
They hunkered down as close to the house as they could get without being seen from the occupants within.
Let's go,
Ryder said, when they saw the four-wheeler they had been tracking parked in front of the house.
Get down,
Cash hissed.
Why? Let's just knock on the fucking door,
Ryder tried to reason.
You knock on their door? The coroner will be scraping what brains you have left off that front porch.
Listen to me. The Porters are the biggest weed growers in the county.
Cash tried to explain the danger they were in. You just didn't walk onto a weed dealer's property in this area of the county. Cash didn't take his eyes off the house. Coming to a decision, he turned to Ryder and realized Shade was gone.
He's going for her, damn it!
With no other option left, he ordered Ryder